Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the Sex and the City fiasco that was Carrie and Big's wedding. Here's what you need to know. Based on the book by Candace Bushnell and the popular HBO series created by Darren Star, the 2008 Sex and the City movie continued the escapades of four of TV's most iconic characters, Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, and Samantha, modern women living and looking for love in New York City. At the beginning of the movie, all four women are at different romantic crossroads. After trouble conceiving, Charlotte, played by Kristen Davis, and her husband Harry have adopted a baby girl. Samantha, played by Kim Cattrall, has moved to Los Angeles to be closer to her lover, Smith, who has become a daytime TV soap opera star. Miranda, played by Cynthia Nixon, has settled down in Brooklyn with her husband, Steve, and her son, Brady. And Carrie, of course, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, now in the 10th year of being in a committed relationship with Mr. Big, played by Chris Noth, is living her best life. The couple has decided to buy a penthouse on Fifth Avenue, but Carrie will have to give up her Upper East Side apartment. That's when Mr. Big suggests they get married. A casual proposal, but a proposal nonetheless. At lunch, Carrie shares the news with her friends, who are ecstatic. Samantha, though, seems concerned, but for the most part, all are very supportive. Cue the rom-com-style wedding frenzy montage of Louis Vuittons and various couture fashions. News of the engagement even prompts a wedding announcement on page 6 that reads, "The ultimate single gal will be married in Manolo's to New York financier John James Preston come fall, proving to single gals everywhere that there can be a happy ending over 40. Charlotte hires her friend Anthony Marantino to be Carrie's wedding planner as an engagement gift. While this is Carrie's first wedding, this will be Big's third, and though he'd prefer a courthouse wedding, they plan to have a smallish celebration of 75 guests at the New York Public Library, a space that, quote, houses all of the great love stories. Carrie shows Charlotte and Anthony the vintage white suit that she plans to get married in, but neither are impressed. Carrie's wedding plans start to shift after she's gifted an elaborate Vivian Westwood gown following a photo shoot for Vogue magazine. Suddenly, Carrie Bradshaw turns back into the fashion icon we've grown to love, and her plans for a small, casual wedding go out the window. Big calls the growing affair a circus, but Carrie reassures him that it's not getting out of hand. It's still going to be an intimate affair between the two of them. On the morning of their wedding day, Big gets cold feet. He tries to call Carrie, but she's getting ready and doesn't answer. When Carrie arrives at the venue, she learns that Big is nowhere to be found. She calls him, and he tells her that he was out front, but has just left. That's when he admits, "I can't do this." Carrie gasps as she drops her flip phone in slow motion. She screams to her friends, "He's not coming! Get me out of here!" Charlotte and Miranda whisk Carrie away as Samantha is left behind to deal with the wedding guests. As Big drives away, he suddenly realizes what he's done and has a change of heart. He tells his driver to make a U-turn on a one-way street just as Carrie's car drives in his direction. Carrie gets out of her limo and runs toward him. Big attempts to explain, "I freaked out for a second, but it's too late." Carrie furiously slaps him with her bouquet of white roses. Miranda helps Carrie back into the car as Charlotte steps up to Big and yells, "No," getting him to back off. They each get in their cars, and in a dramatic plot turn, Carrie and Big go their separate ways. Fun facts, aka death stats. Carrie and Big have been together for 10 years when they decide to tie the knot. Sex and the City author Candace Bushnell said about Ron Galati, the man who inspired the character of Mr. Big, quote, "He was one of those New York guys with a big personality. You just notice him as soon as he walks in the room." Bushnell told New York Magazine, "I called him Mr. Big because he was like a big man on campus." According to The Smart Shopper, Carrie and Big's wedding cost around $230,000. The film was written and directed by Michael Patrick King. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hello.
And our very special guest is actor, comedian, John Millhiser. Hi, John.
Hello.
And so our listeners know, you can catch John in Drama Club on Nickelodeon. So, very exciting to have you on the show, John. Thanks for coming.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for talking drama with us.
That's right.
Oh my God.
It's about to get spicy, saucy, all
sexy.
Sexy, that's right. All the S words.
HBO, we know drama.
Mm-hmm, that too.
Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, John, we'd like to start off our show by asking our guests, what is something that is recently alarming you? What is something that's keeping you up at night?
Well, my boyfriend is about to do the LA Marathon. And so that's on Sunday.
Whoa.
But wow. We went to a Halloween party on Saturday. And we didn't even think about it. Like, oh, my God, what if we get COVID and then you can't race? So... I don't think
Does he have COVID?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm going to go get tested. He's getting tested tomorrow, but I'm going to get tested after this. But it wasn't even a thought, like, because everything's gotten more comfortable. So it's just like, we should have thought about that. It would just really suck if he ends up not being able to do the marathon.
After all the training?
Yeah.
Oh. It's weird because now we're having to plan 2 weeks ahead. I know what you're talking about. It's like, I can't go... anywhere. I can't go to a supermarket because in 2 weeks I'll have to do something that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to live. You know, something that was incredibly I wouldn't say it was eye-opening, but I was rewatching Sex and the City, the movie, and no COVID in sight. Those were the days.
Yeah.
All I kept thinking was, in those bar scenes and those restaurant scenes, no one is wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. Everyone is making out with everyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like a New Year's Eve scene as well, where it's like everyone's kissing, you know, two people just kiss randomly. And it's just like, you know, watching movies from before COVID times gives you anxiety now in COVID times. Because you think of all the potential COVID spreads.
Right.
In those
Carrie
movies.
Does wear a bird on her head, though, at one point.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember? In the wedding dress?
Yes.
So there is, I mean, it's not really a mask, but there's there's face gear happening.
I was thinking that now. COVID makes up the swine flu or something.
Yes,
exactly. I know. Yeah, that's what I thought. Flu. I was about to make fun of you for it, but... that was a different thing you were talking about.
Yeah, it's fun to watch those shows and be like, no one's wearing a mask. Unreal. Just like yell at them.
How unsafe, like irresponsible.
Yeah.
So why don't we dive right in to this very, you know, one of TV's greatest tragedies. I guess you could say also film's greatest tragedies, which was the Carrie and Big wedding. Raise your hand if you cried during the Sex and the City movie.
Okay, wow.
Just for the listeners.
Just Rebecca. Just Rebecca is raising her hand.
I had to think about it. I was upset, but I don't think I could cry.
When did you cry?
When did you cry? Yeah, at what moment did you cry, Rebecca?
Oh, I cried... Well, I cried oddly during the Miranda situation, you know, when she gets back together with Steve, right? When they meet in the on the Brooklyn Bridge. But I also cried for Carrie. It breaks my heart. This movie breaks my heart.
You know what gets me is that moment when she's just smashed the flowers over Big's head after, you know, they stop on the street and she's trying to get back in the car and Big's like, Carrie, and Charlotte points at him and goes, no,
yeah,
no. That always really, I was like, oh, that's like maybe her finest moment of acting in the whole series because it seems the most genuine.
It really is.
And then she waddles off in her tight dress.
Yes.
Which is also brilliant.
It's a little bit unclear if it's supposed to be a comedic moment when she waddles off, like when she's like scampering back into the car. It's unclear, but it's a beautiful you know, I keep saying it's a television moment. No, it's a film. It's a film.
I remember when they shot that scene, it was in like the papers, like the Daily News, like them shooting that scene of her in the wedding dress.
Uh-huh. Like a big spoiler?
Yeah, big spoiler.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm glad I didn't
see people watching them film.
Yes, there's a moment where she steps out of the car, and I just noticed this because I watched it recently for the first time, but she's stepping out of the car with the dress for the first time, and there's straight up just a woman who is clearly not an extra who just, like, her jaw drops to the floor. She's like, oh, like, totally gagged by the dress. And I was like, that's real.
I just remembered the exact moment that I cried, other than the Miranda and Steve moment. It's when she's reading her emails and it's the love stories, the love letters from like Beethoven and all the other whatever. And then it's his love letter in the end. It just gets me every time. It gets me.
I'm thinking a moment that made me emotional is when Carrie arrives at Miranda's door for New Year's Eve. Like, I didn't cry, but I definitely went like...
Also, because I know, like, that she must have... She's a good friend. That's where you're like, oh, Carrie's a really good friend. Because to get out of bed and to try and get a cab on New Year's Eve and then to get on the subway in the cold in those heels, because you know there's snows. Yeah. Well, she's downtown now because she moved out of Brooklyn at this point. She's in, I think it's Chinatown where she lives.
Now, if you go back to that scene where Miranda calls Carrie and Carrie's already in bed, she picks up the phone and you see they did this on purpose. There's a clock next to the phone and you see the time. It says like 11:30. And then she leaves her apartment and then she runs by something that also has a clock and it says like 11:45. And so it's like, how long did it take her to get to Miranda? And also like, because right when she arrives, it's New Year's.
Yeah, so she gets there just in time.
It's so cool. And we discovered it during quarantine, like because we watched the movie like 20 times, that there were clues of like what time it was. Like we paused it. And we're like, where's the clock? There it is. Like they did.
And
it
you know New York. So you're like, you know whether it's realistic if she could get that far in that amount of time. Right. Like you have the inside scoop.
Yeah. She must live right by the subway. Because, I mean, she's on the Upper East Side. I'm assuming she took the 6 all the way down to what stop would that have been?
And then transfer to like a...
She's going to Chinatown, so it's...
You could take the 6 all the way down to Chinatown.
You got to get down to Bowery or something, right?
Yeah. Maybe the BQE situation to get further.
Anyway,
east.
That would have taken way more than a half hour, don't you think, John?
Yeah. Maybe it was like 11:20. Maybe it was 11:20. Okay. But if you go back, you'll see that the time where she starts.
Oh, and we will go back. We will be watching this movie on loop. It's a two and a half hour movie.
It's an event.
They take really their time.
Now, it's four acts. It's not 4 acts.
Is it really?
Oh.
I think it is. Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, people were so hungry for more Sex in the City at this point because the series had ended and people were so obsessed with it. I think that people were so like down for a long movie, you know?
Well, I clocked it. The breakup of the wedding, like the wedding doesn't fall apart until the end of the first hour.
Yeah.
It's 60 minutes of wedding. Mm-hmm. That's like the first act of a movie. It's like, oh, he doesn't show up at the wedding. But no, they give you 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this. One of the, you know, history's greatest breakups. It's like, do we spoil it for people or do we not? Right.
It's 2008. I don't think you're technically spoiled. You can't spoil anything after.
We're in a safety zone for spoiler alerts at this point.
Okay, fine. So, you know, momentary breakups, we'll call it. And first up, I think we should put up on the board social pressure. Now, this is according to Hadley Freeman in The Guardian. And they say, In the films, the message is women want a ring at all self-abasing costs. In the show, Carrie rejected Aiden, who was perfect on so many levels, because she couldn't, no matter how hard she tried, bring herself to marry him. The show didn't judge her or him for that, nor did it get at her for being, quote, old, the way the film does. If the movies have killed the Sex and the City dream, then in retrospect, its death throes could be seen in the last series with its insistence that Carrie had to get together with Mr. Big in the end. Never mind if it was totally out of character for both of them. Never mind if it went against everything the show once said about women not needing to put up with men who make them feel like crap. So interesting. You know, the movie does go in a different direction than what the TV show kind of set out to do. And it's, I don't know, in a way you could blame it on focus. This feels like a focus group reaction.
Hmm.
You know, it's like they did a focus group for and asked people like, what did you not like about the series or how it ended? And they're just like, I just wanted her to have that happy ending, that wedding, you know? And then they're like, okay, fine. That's what the movie will be, even though it goes against like everything that the show was trying to be.
They gave the baby the bottle. They give their baby the bottle. Like, okay, here's your bottle, you little baby.
But are you saying that?
Yeah. Sorry, John, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, are you saying that social pressure of the viewing public is to blame? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's a social pressure of the viewing public as well as society. You know, the viewing public is society in this case, right?
What about society for the characters that are Carrie and Miranda, and et cetera? Like, is that part of social pressure too? Like they, as, you know, fictional humans felt social pressure to get married?
Yeah. And in a way, you could say that the legal system, not attributes, but
contributes.
Contributes. Thank you, Clayton. So close with that word. Contributes to that kind of social pressure, right? Because the reason that she says that she is going to, she wants to get married, or she even brings up the topic, is because she feels like she's not going to have any legal rights if the apartment goes away.
Yes. I talk, my husband's a lawyer, for some of you who may know, and we talked about this when we watched it, and one of the things that came up was marriage law and the idea that the necessity to get married out of fear of losing any kind of assets that you might have built together with a person and having no right to them because one person technically owns them, right? It seems fundamentally unfair that you could do something with someone, build something together with someone, but because of like a simple document that you haven't signed, half of you don't have any interest in that thing that you've built together, whether that's like owning a home and, you know, improving your home, mm-hmm. whatever it is. But that, I agree, that's a huge catalyst for her to, who she herself at the beginning was like, we're together. We are who we are. Like,
yeah.
Wasn't even thinking about marriage.
John, what were you going to say beforehand?
I was just thinking, like, they were like, well, the focus group wants us to get, have her be married, but let's do it our way. And so they did it in a way where it was not romantic at, like, it wasn't a romantic proposal. It seemed very, like, legal, as you were saying. And then, yeah, she got carried away with it and then ruined the wedding and then broke up. So then they weren't going to get married. And then, you know, at the end, they did just the legal signing thing at City Hall. And
it right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what can we... I know that it is social pressure, but I feel like it's something more than just social pressure. Could it be, like, marriage laws?
I think we should... something along there, like...
It's weird because, like, marriage laws are good.
Well, I feel like those are two things that are separate that could be... both put up on the board, right?
Uh-huh.
One is, I don't know how you'd put that, because you could have had the deed in two people's names. There are advantages to getting married, sort of taxes and stuff, but for this specific instance, I think it was because Big pulled the trigger on the apartment first, so it was only in his name.
Yes.
Right? And then she was like, well, what about my half? Like, that to me is just... You know, he was just a quick trigger finger there, sort of
but
impulse
smart on
buying.
Her part to protect herself. To of be course, like, I gotta look course. After myself, because you've
I'm
been
just
married
saying.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bring up...
Mister.
I mean...
Well, you bring up a really interesting point, Chris. You're making me think of, like, Big in his big dog ways, you mm-hmm. know, where he pulled the trigger a little too quickly. She was like, we can't afford this, right? Mm-hmm. And he's just like... I'll take care of it. And they didn't have the conversation of like, how are we going to pay for right. this? And it's only until later where she's like, well, I guess I'm going to have to sell my apartment because I can't afford this thing that you bought
that
for
you
us.
Bought, right. It's a funny moment in that movie too, where he's like, she's like, welcome home. And she's like, we can't afford this. And he's like, I got it. And he just turns around and says, okay, let's sign some papers. I'm like, that's not how buying a house works.
I got it.
Ever.
He just said, I got it.
Yeah.
Just go up to a real estate agent and just wink and say, I got it. And then the house is yours.
That's how it is. I don't know. I feel like he was a little quick to pull the trigger.
So Biggs, not aggressive, but like.
I called it big dog, like, you know, or just like.
Biggs big dog style?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's also like a chivalry complex thing going on there where he feels like he needs to whatever, like make a generous statement about their you know, he wants to wow her with her, with his spending or whatever.
Which then kind of goes
peacocking,
into...
Peacocking, kind of.
Yeah, there's a peacocking in there. Yes, there's a peacocking, which is like, if we think about Sex and the City and how it is like, you know, a female fantasy of sorts, right? Mm-hmm, where we're living in a city where...
There are no sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes, number one. Friends, you know, it's like you got your core group of friends in New York City, and like the only, apparently, like the only thing you have to worry about is like finding a boyfriend,
right,
and looking really cute and, you know, getting into like the hot spots of the city, right? And then like all the guys are hot. And they're all attracted to you. And there is like this, but like we're independent women, but also we love like chivalry, you know? So there's like this back and forth that is honestly like very, it's one of the appealing parts of the show and the movie, right? Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy.
Right. Yeah. That's where the tension of the show, a lot of it was there.
You know? But that kind of gets in the way of this marriage. I guess he is too much of a peacock. He's too chivalrous at the moment.
So we'll throw that up there. And
what do we call that then? Too chivalrous or chivalrous? Chivalry
peacocking.
Chivalry.
Chivalry.
I wouldn't qualify that as chivalry,
you're right.
Though.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
To me, it was not very thoughtful of him to do that. It was an old fashioned kind of peacocking move for him to do that. I don't think that's chivalry.
Yeah.
So I'll just call it old fashioned peacocking. Does that suffice?
That okay. Is actually pretty good.
Was social
Did we want to put marriage law or some iteration of that up there? Because we don't have that.
Sure.
Yeah. When it comes to like pertaining, I was going to call it land, but.
How about how about legal benefits of being a married person?
Sure, sure.
this specificity is really making me laugh.
Well, it's true. I mean, that's what it is.
Okay, so we've covered that. I also want to talk about Vivian Westwood and put her up on the board, you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
The designer of the dress.
That's right. And just like that, Vivian Westwood kicked my sweet little suit's ass, says Carrie Bradshaw in the movie. When the two casually decide to wed, Carrie and Big agree to a simple wedding. Carrie purchases a stylish white suit at a vintage shop. However, when Vivian Westwood gifts Carrie a couture wedding gown, the wedding plans change. Big seems disturbed that the guest list has bloated to 200, and Carrie coyly responds, "It's the dress. Look, you play poker, right? Well, the dress upped the ante." Do you get that, Chris? Because you play poker. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
Mm-hmm. The two have their blood.
That's right. I'm all in. Full house and a straight.
The two have their first fight about the wedding planning, with Mr. Big expressing he doesn't want a big wedding. He just wants Carrie and would prefer to go to City Hall. Carrie responds, "I think it's a bit too late for City Hall."
All right, get ready for this. Are you excited? You better be. If you sit, if you're sitting, you better stand. If you're standing, you better sit. Because get this, I've got the biggest put up on the board thing ever, and I think we're going to finally get our white whale, the fashion industry.
La 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 la.
Why? Why?
Because this was speaking of fashion.
This, yes, go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of fashion, Miranda, her outfits finally looked cool in this movie.
It's a great observation.
I feel like in the
most improved fashion style.
In the show, they threw like burlap bags on her and put her in overalls.
Well, she was a lawyer. She didn't have time for fashion.
Right.
John's right. They definitely could have done something. That is so funny.
Also, fun fact, whenever they're eating at the diner or wherever they eat, it's only Miranda that's eating in every scene.
Oh my God.
Wow.
She's always going like this. Carrie.
Everybody else plays with their food. You're right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she was always in burlap bags, because she would eat and get stains on her nice clothes.
I love Miranda. okay, this is another tangent that I'm going to go off of that is somewhat related to the fashion industry. But how about that moment when Samantha comes back from being in L.A., too long with Smith, and she like shows up with her dog and they look at her like,
that's an insane scene.
It's you know what I'm talking about, right? She walks in and so all they can talk about is how she's gained weight, and she literally looks the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what can I do? I'm eating my feelings. And they're like, you didn't know? You couldn't tell that you've gotten this big? And she's like, I just haven't been looking in the mirror. And they're like, they're like, what? You're massive, essentially. And
that doesn't really hold up very well, like only 10 something years later, right?
Yes, it's
like,
because it's literally insane. She looks the exact same way. She's wearing a crop top, but she looks the same. Mm-hmm. Do you agree, John? I mean,
100%. When I first saw it, I was like, she doesn't look any different. But I guess that's the narrative they want to push on us, is that she ate too much guacamole in that giant hat.
Well, I wonder if she was supposed to gain more weight and then she refused to or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, then they added this line where it's like, you're beautiful any size you are, but you're massive. I mean, what they're implying is like, you're massive. It's a wild scene. Anyway, fashion industry.
Fashion industry. I think you can also put up the Emperor's new clothes, but that'll get rolled into the fashion industry. So I just think that the Vivian Westwood dress that was so spectacular, like, I don't know, like, okay, fine, maybe it's a nice dress, but don't you think, like, the way fashion goes, like, you look back at something and, like, in 10 years, it'll look, like, dumb or normal or, I don't know, whatever.
I have something that I think encompasses both fashion industry and Vivian Westwood, and it's my big push for this episode.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Are you guys ready for it?
Ready, okay. Freddy.
Ready.
It's the what I call the wedding industrial complex.
Put it up. I love the sound of it.
I love that, Clayton.
And
I love where your head's at.
Here's what I'm going to say just to defend this, right? I mean, the wedding industry is like billions and billions of dollars.
Got it.
This industry.
Got the
there
whole
are magazines.
Thing.
Yeah.
Everything. And if you look to the beginning of the film, Carrie herself, like when he even suggests we should get married because she's worried about like protecting herself, he's like, do you want a diamond? She's like, no, I don't want a diamond. Like she's not like traditional, wants to be the like big bride, mm-hmm. right? And in the end, they end up having like this simple, lovely wedding at the courthouse with a simple, lovely dress that she bought. But because she gets in this photo shoot and because, you know, she's a famous writer and because Vivian Westwood gives her a wedding dress, which is good for her because she's selling dresses, she's part of the industry, it blows up into something that they both don't want. But you just like get sucked into, and anyone who's ever planned a wedding, you know how easy it is to be like, oh, maybe we should do this thing that's ridiculous because it's your wedding. You know what I mean? And you feel like it's the only time. So I really feel like Carrie was the victim of this wedding industrial complex.
I absolutely love that. And, you know, a big contributor to that would be Charlotte, because she's the one who got her the wedding planner. So if it wasn't for Charlotte and Mario Cantone, who plays the wedding planner in the show, Carrie would have just used her regular suit that she had already purchased. And those were two big contributors. You know, they're part of the wedding industry, and I thought they played a big part in having this wedding kind of just blow over.
So I think that that's an important distinction, right? There's the wedding industrial complex, but then there's Charlotte. Now,
her obsession with the wedding industry.
And weddings, and that was her
in
whole
general.
Shtick through the whole series, right?
Right, right. So, but I think we can put Charlotte up on the board entirely as that could be her fault.
Okay.
Charlotte's on there.
I also want to put up commitment phobia. This is from Rose Graceling Moore for Screen Rant says, Big is all about game playing. He leaves Carrie on the hook. He's terrible at calling or following through. And then he'll pop up with a charming smile and something to make it up to her. It's not a healthy way of communicating or respecting each other at all. Neither Big nor Carrie are particularly good with commitment, although Carrie would definitely claim that this is all on Big's side. Admittedly, he is much more commitment phobic than she is, and even leaves her at the altar in the first film. Ouch. But she has her own issues with settling down and never ends up selling her own private apartment. They continually break up, but neither truly moves on, something that is unfair to both of them and also to the other people that they date. They are constantly calling it quits and then getting back together, and it just seems exhausting.
Wow. You know what it is? There's mm-hmm. something to that. There's like a narcissistic personality disorder happening.
Whoa.
Well, they really are at the center of these. Like, they put themselves at the center of everything. Wouldn't you say that? I don't know. Carrie just seems to me, everything's about her. She's one of, like, I watch the show. I really like it. And I like the stories or whatever. Yeah. But she is if you just, like, think about it for 1 second, she's, like, a really horrible person, I think.
Well, she's a horrible person. And also, if any of the girls bring up a topic, like, Miranda's like, oh, my dad died. Carrie be like, that reminds me. Big's on his way here. Like, she turned the conversation onto herself. If you go back and watch them again, like, you'll see in every scene, she just ignores what they say and she starts talking about herself.
Makes good jokes. She has all good one-liners, but doesn't really engage.
Right.
Isn't there a theory that really these four women are just one human? It's like... Isn't
just
there?
A psychopath?
Did I make this? Yes, it's they're just all three sides
eating four lunches at every sitting.
It's like like some kind of like multiple personality disorder or something. Yes.
Schizophrenia.
Did I make that up?
No, it might be out there. I'm sure it's out there.
They're just like all one person. And they're like the different sides to one person. So it would make sense that Carrie's just like, well, I don't care about you. Let's focus more on me.
But it does speak to, okay, when circling back to the events of the film, it does speak to, you know, Carrie's personality. And maybe we can just put Carrie up on the board for letting it get out of control. Like, if they had an agreement about a small wedding to begin with, it's like, you got to check your impulses at when the big decisions are going to come your way, or opportunities even. You don't have to wear that Vivian Westwood dress. Like, why do you have to do that? That's a choice. And I think it's rooted in Carrie's, you know, I mean, she fancies herself as like, you know, I don't know, maybe less of a, I just think she's a total like a narcissist, but she thinks she's like not one or something. I don't know.
Something that goes back to this point that John and Chris are making too, that I think you were going to bring up, but it just seems natural to bring it up now, is that at the wedding, she's surrounded by like so many people going to the library to get married. Mm-hmm. And John is literally just sitting by himself. Like, where are the groomsmen?
Well, where that's something anybody, I was going to bring up.
Right. Why is he alone on his frickin' wedding day?
No male friends.
Big's lack of friends, there I wanted to put up on the board. Now, first, if we're going to put Carrie up on the board, let's put Big for obvious reasons. He's the one who leaves, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. But let's talk about Big's lack of friends. This is a listener, Carrie Gallagher, wrote in and said, Big got the jitters the night before the wedding and the morning of. If he had a group of friends or even just one, I think they could have talked it out and he'd have showed up at the wedding on time. Crisis averted. But no, he had no one to talk to and ended up dithering, hence being late and caring, believing he stood her up. So he's calling her. She's like his only friend, right? Robert Ebert says, what about Mr. Big himself, as played by Chris Noth? Noth or Noth?
Noth.
Okay.
Chris Noth.
He's so unreal, he verges on the surreal. He's so passive. He stands there or lies there as if consciously posing as the ideal lover. But he's kind of slow, square, colorless. Notice how when an old friend shouts rude things about him at an important dinner, oh, this was at the the dinner before the wedding, the dress rehearsal, he hardly seems to hear them or to know he's having dinner.
He is a square. He's just a big square.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree there.
You also just don't, you don't just not show up.
Okay. Now,
I forgot what I was going to say.
Remember.
Shoot. I know.
We'll give it a second.
Can I, maybe I'll throw one in there. John will probably remember when I'm talking. But,
okay,
so I also think we should throw up on the board the Big Apple, New York City itself.
Ooh.
I think,
tell me why.
Well, I just think that part of the premise of the show is that, you know, the city is where these people come and they're career minded. They push their personal relationships, i.e. their, you know, love lives. They push them back on the calendar of their lives. I'm not explaining this well, in New York is an industry town. People are career obsessed. They get married later in life and it puts more pressure on the marriage, more pressure on making the right decision. Because people feel like they're up against the clock, I think.
Well, and it's so visible, right? It's a big city. There's so many people. They're all one-upping each other, right? Because if you're someone who goes to New York, there's a part of you that is okay with that attention, right? You want to.
It's the concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
Yeah. So that just lends itself to a bunch of people just wanting to one-up each other. Especially when it comes to weddings, right? Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Relationship. Sorry, go, John.
I was going to say that it was his third marriage.
Yes.
Which also Carrie should have picked up on, like, oh, let's not have the biggest wedding possible because it is your third wedding. So, like,
right.
He says that too. He's like, think about how this makes me look at some point when she's talking about what it's become.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always felt a little weird about that because it's her first.
I agree so then, with that too.
Right? I get it. It's like it's his third, but it's her first. So there's got to be something in the middle.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's her first, but she didn't want. I mean, it seems clear that what she wanted was right on par with what he wanted, right?
Right.
In the beginning, yeah. She in does kind of give that off, and then it becomes something bigger.
But the dress.
There's two things I want to put up on the board, and we have to, before we forget. Number one, we have to put Miranda up and her cynicism, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's married with a child and a demanding career. Miranda and Steve are experiencing a sexual drought in their relationship. When Steve cheats on Miranda, she refuses to forgive him and moves out of their Brooklyn brownstone. On the night before the wedding, Miranda fights with Steve, only to run into Mr. Big and say, "You two are crazy to get married. Marriage ruins everything." That night, Big calls Carrie, doubting that they should go through with the marriage. Carrie convinces him to stick with it. Even after the pep talk that next morning, Big still needs reassurance.
Hmm.
Could it have been Miranda?
She was the catalyst. I mean, that she made it happen. She put the idea in his head. Mm-hmm. She's the whole reason then he didn't come.
Although, well, we'll discuss this, I'm sure, during the crossing off process. But it's like, if you really are sure about someone, does a side, you know, an offhanded comment change it all for you suddenly?
And he knows does he know that there was a cheating moment between her and Steve?
Unclear.
Ooh.
Yeah, he might not know. He might not know. So we'll put that up. And finally, we do have to, unfortunately, I think, put Lily the flower girl up on the board.
Excuse me?
Yes. I know why.
Oh, yeah. She hangs up the phone.
And she puts it in her little purse, right?
She does. In her little cupcake purse. Yes. This is according to E! News. The morning of the wedding, Big had tried to reach Carrie on the phone, but the bride-to-be was busy putting on her Vivian Westwood dress and fancy bird hat. As a result, the adorable flower girl, Charlotte's daughter Lily, picked up the cell instead, thinking it was just a toy, then hung it up on the desperate groom and stuffed the phone into her little cupcake purse.
And I guess this was back in the day too. Like, there's a joke how like someone hands her an iPhone and she doesn't know how to use it. Like, smartphones are not really a thing yet. And I guess it is unbelievable in 2008 that you're not as attached to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, now it's like, oh, why would I just be for hours without my phone and not think, where's my phone?
That was in the movie, Joe Queen. When she's like, I don't know how to use this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So it's understandable that she wouldn't think it's weird that she's just away from her old flip phone for hours on end, like versus now where we're all attached to our smartphones. Like,
yeah. That really ages Carrie, I feel like her.
That scene is, that's so interesting. That scene where she like yells at all of her friends because Big didn't show up, where she's in the wedding dress and she's like, get me out of here. Like, you can walk, Carrie. But like, there's, remember in the series where she's in the dress and she's like, get me out of this.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So she, whenever she's in a wedding dress, she's always like yelling at her friends to do something for her. Like,
it's true.
Just unzip it.
Cut me out of it. Cut me out of it. Get me out of here. There's the door.
The amount of flip phones in this movie is really eye-catching for me.
Right? Indeed.
Uh-huh. Okay. So is there anything else that we want to put up on the board before we start crossing things off? Did we get it all? I feel like we did. If it comes up, we'll deal with it.
Like, should we just throw Samantha up there? Because we've got Charlotte and Miranda already.
Well, Samantha was like, she hung up the phone quickly after she said she's going to get married.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And then she was against it.
First seed of doubt.
She called her back and said, she's like, I'm sorry, I thought I was in shock. Like, you were in my do not marry list, and now I have to move you. So, yeah, she was against it.
Okay.
Maybe she should have been more forceful and say, you're making a mistake. That's not her fault.
Yes.
Is that what we're suggesting?
Samantha's complacency.
Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to start crossing things off the list.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, so who's to blame for Carrie and Big's wedding? Is it social pressure? Big's big dog style? Old-fashioned peacocking? Legal benefits of being a married person? Vivian Westwood, the fashion industry, wedding industrial complex, Charlotte, commitment phobia, Carrie allowing things to spiral out of control, Big's lack of friends, Big for leaving, the Big Apple, Miranda and her cynicism, Lily the flower girl, or Samantha's complacency.
Quite the list.
Woo!
Quite the list.
Quite the list. I think we should start off by taking a lot of Bigs here.
Yeah, we should fold some Bigs into some other Bigs.
Do we take Lily the flower girl off first? She's just a kid, am I right?
It was already happening. We can't blame her.
Yeah. I mean, also, couldn't Big have called someone else? Right. Like, did he not have Charlotte's phone number?
He probably
didn't.
He probably was like, I don't need it. I'm not going to call it.
They've been best friends forever.
And the thing too, just like, so I just feel like we have to say this, the line that he has when he's like, when he leaves the voicemail, he's like, I just need to know it's going to be you and me. Like, that's the stupid, like, you need her just to say that silly, dumb line and then you'll run to the church. Like, come on. It's so weak.
It is. And also, I'm just realizing that he does have those girls' number, the friends' numbers, because in the end, when they get married in the city hall, he's like, I called your friends. Didn't, you know?
Right.
So, what the hell?
No!
What the hell? What the hell, bag?
What the hell, bag? No. Okay, what are we going to do here? I need some help, guys.
Well, I feel like, okay, so I think we can take Big's big dog style, Big for leaving, and Big's lack of friends, and just call. I mean, this is all describing the one person, the personality.
Yeah.
So we should just say Big.
Okay.
Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory for starting it all.
It is our.
We're doing Big's big dog style, Big's lack of friends, and what was the other thing that we're folding into Big?
And Big for leaving.
Well, Big for leaving. Just turn that into Big himself, because we roll it all into Big.
Yes, yeah. Big.
And I also think that we can fold Vivian Westwood into the fashion industry.
Sure.
I almost, as much as I want to kill, you know, fashion industry, I've been, you know, trying to get it into jail, and I did eventually get it. But I feel like the wedding industrial complex is more to blame than the fashion industry in this one.
Fashion is a big part of it. Yeah, for sure. So should we fold
it was
that
an
into
escalator.
Wedding?
But it wasn't maybe the.
And the old fashioned peacocking, I feel, can be folded into Big himself.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Now,
what about the legal benefits of being a married person? Is that
does fold
that
into
alone?
Social pressure, right? Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that is. To me, what I don't know, I think that's distinct from social pressure, because to me, that was that scene where Big was like, well, then let's just get married.
Right.
It was more a legal thing for him, and that was what started the avalanche.
But her friends were pressuring her to about what are you going to do if he, like, you know, Miranda has that
where
scene
she looks,
where
she has those big gold square earrings and like chunky bracelet. Yeah.
Yes, but she's pressuring her like to do something to protect herself because Big bought this apartment, right? And so she needs to do something. So there's definitely like a correlation there.
Let's keep those separate then. And I think we can, the commitment phobia, I'm just not buying right now.
Yeah.
I think it's more than that. I also think the Big Apple perhaps didn't make them chill out, but I don't think it is to blame. I think it's deeper than that. I also want to take Samantha's complacency off.
Yes.
I think if anything, Charlotte and Miranda are bigger players.
Should we have put the extra 4 pounds that Samantha gained up on the board?
Four pounds. It might be a half a pound that she gained.
Four equally distributed across her body pounds, barely discernible.
Unreal.
What about Charlotte? I mean, is Charlotte ultimately to blame for this, do you think? Or should this
She might be. She might be.
There?
I think we can take Miranda's cynicism off, because again, I don't think this offhanded comment really was the thing that brought down the house of cards.
Especially the guy, well, I mean, it could if he's thinking, you're right, I've been married twice and I've been divorced twice. But
yeah. But I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
It's a little comment. So we've got social pressure, legal benefits of being a married person, wedding industrial complex, Charlotte, Carrie allowing things to spiral out of control, and Big. What do you think, Clayton?
Well, I think Carrie allowing things to spiral out of control really just falls under the, like, either social pressure or like wedding industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, I also think the legal benefits of being a married person, you could look into that, but I wonder if there's a correlation between that and the wedding industrial complex. I mean, it is, oof. I mean, think about how many jobs and how much revenue is created from weddings. Like, wouldn't you as a nation or a state want to benefit from that in some way? And so wouldn't you try and incentivize people to get married?
Ooh. Chris, can you Google how big the wedding industry is like currently?
Sure.
Yeah. I'd love to hear a number. I'm sure it's insane.
Oh, while he's doing that, a part of me thinks that Charlotte just got like carried away with that too.
Sure. I mean, she's so excited for her friend and she's like so like, you know, traditional in that sense. Like,
she has that party, scene in the restaurant wedding, like, where she embarrasses Carrie being like, 10 years. I've been dating for 10 years.
Wow. It averages, the wedding industry in the United States averages over $60 billion a year.
Wow.
A year.
Yeah.
And big that time. Figure doesn't include honeymoon industry, which is estimated between $4 and $8 billion a year.
Oh, wow. God.
So wedding is big business.
So are we taking Charlotte off?
Here's where I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the wedding industrial complex gets thrown into the alarmist jail and that we do slap big, but because a relationship is, you know, two people, I think Carrie kind of should maybe get the backhand.
Wow.
Just because their communication, like,
yes.
It feels like an issue that could have been solved. They've been dating for 10 years now. 10 years is a long time. Have they not gone to a therapist, like a couples counselor or something like that? They needed some kind of way to communicate so that this kind of thing doesn't happen.
I think that's fair because, you know, it takes two to tango, as they say. And it's like, yes, I like that she does bear some responsibility because as you see it kind of play out in the movie, like, she's going against what her instincts were telling her in the first place. And I think the communication thing is so key. Like if you're getting married to someone, if you're planning something and you talk to, I guess, anyone who's planned a wedding and the other person's like less involved, like that's, you get frustrated and you're like, no, you will participate. Like you're not just going to be like, you just stay over there and just show up on the day. You know?
I mean, but I mean, that depends on the expectations going in. You know what I mean? Those are the conversations they just didn't have though. It was to your point, Clayton. Like I think there could be a person who's perfectly happy just showing up on the day and not.
It's
sure.
A wedding about two people. Like you have want to both people sometimes. To be represented in like
yep. You have
the
to say
theme
I do.
Or design or, you know,
mm-hmm.
True.
It's true, and he keeps saying it's you and me.
And that was that was a big argument with Rebecca and I at our wedding. I wanted it to just be a little figurine of me at the top of the cake with a big holding my arms out and big smile on my face. And you know, like with the big.
I had to force my way into that cake top.
And she said that's totally unacceptable, total deal breaker. And I had to bend a little, and that's right. Where a compromise came.
Hey,
in.
You guys found love in New York City. You're just like Carrie.
True.
Oh my God, I am Carrie.
Yes. God, the least likable person on TV.
Before I call this, we should decide who we are as a foursome. So okay. Like Chris is Samantha, obviously.
Because I'm fat.
No.
I have a...
John, are you like Charlotte? I'm
Carrie with Charlotte Rising? Or what's the...
I love that. We're all Carrie, but what's rising for us? I mean, right?
I'm Charlotte with maybe a Carrie rising.
I'm Carrie with Charlotte Rising.
Is that what you are too?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. So we're opposites. I think that works. And Clayton, you have to be Miranda.
I'm Miranda.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Okay, great. So I'm going to call it. Now that we figured that out, I'm going to call it. Big, you're getting the big slap. Watch out, Carrie. Here comes the backhand. the wedding industrial complex, you're going to the alarmist jail. And weddings will never be the same after this, because there will be no industry.
We've decimated the $60 billion annual wedding industry with this one episode.
Thank you so much, John, for joining us today and helping us get to the bottom of this terrible, sad, you know, mm-hmm. historic tragedy.
Oh, that my was pleasure. If you ever want to
talk. And big wedding. Yes, next year, every year for Thanksgiving, we'll get together and talk about this. After Carrie and Big's wedding, according to the website Television of Yore, following the failed wedding, Carrie retreats back to Charlotte's apartment and sips hard liquor while staring despondently into space and muttering to the gals about how numb she feels. She sadly says she booked a honeymoon trip to Mexico and sadly charged it on her credit card because she wanted to surprise Big. Samantha breezes into the room and says she couldn't get Carrie out of her expensive honeymoon, so instead, she booked the three of them to join her in the luxury Mexican villa. After the girls' honeymoon in Mexico, Carrie picks up the pieces of her life and hires an assistant, played by Jennifer Hudson. Hudson reminds her that today is the final day that she and Big have possession of the Fifth Avenue penthouse, which means it's her last opportunity to fetch the overpriced blue stilettos she left in the mammoth closet and for some reason never thought to retrieve earlier. Carrie ends the call and rushes off. She races to the penthouse, and in the closet, we see that Big is there, holding the blue shoes. He says he was going to return them to her, and Carrie dramatically drops everything she's holding and runs into his arms. The two smooch, then end up rolling around on the floor together, where they pontificate the abysmal communication in their dysfunctional roller coaster of a shit-tastic relationship. She remarks on how happy they had been before deciding to live happily ever after, and Big regrets the complete absence of romance in their decision to get married. He props himself onto one knee, calls her the love of his life, and asks her to marry him. She nods, and to seal the deal, he puts one of the blue stilettos on her foot. On their second wedding day, Carrie dons her boring jacket-skirt combo and weds Big at City Hall. As they walk out, she gushes to him about how perfect it was, because it was just you and me. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Erfurt latrine disaster.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.